53 years ago, Mavis Gallant quit her job as a feature writer on a Montreal newspaper, packed a few belongings, and moved to Paris. Since then, she's published more short stories in The New Yorker than just about any of the magazine's other contributors. In a two-month span this fall, Miss Gallant published two books, Paris Stories and The Varieties of Exile. Frank Browning visited the 81-year-old author at her home in Montparnasse and has this profile.
Mavis Gallant says that as long as she can remember, she knew what she wanted, where she wanted it, and how she wanted it.
I wanted to live in Paris, and I wanted to write fiction. I didn't want to have a boss. I didn't want to have anyone over me. And I thought that I had to do it before I was 30, because after 30, I took it for granted I'd lose my nerve and just not do it.
With only enough money to live for a few months, she set herself a tough challenge.
I decided I would send three stories to The New Yorker, one after the other, and if they took two out of three, or even one, but if they rejected the whole lot, I was going to give up the idea completely. And the first one they sent back and said, but have you anything else you can show us?
Fortunately, she did, and they published the very next thing she sent. And the ideas for stories never stopped. Recollections of scenes and characters from Canada, from her travels across post-war Europe, from her meanderings and encounters along the streets and in the cafes of Paris. The novelist Michael Ondaatje has said of Gallant's stories that they capture the tableau of nomadic, shipwrecked souls wandering across Europe as it rebuilt itself from the ruins of war. One of Gallant's best-known and most revered stories, The Old Friends, takes place on a train in Austria. A woman recalls how she had first met a friend, now an old bachelor, but at the time, 1960, he was a proud, middle-aged German official.
They were alone in the compartment. He sat with his hands on his knees, and she remembers his large cufflinks and his large square ring. He was like the economic miracle, not yet at its climax of fat. Or he had been obese a long time ago. She saw around him the ghost of a padded man. He talked very seriously about the economic life of every town they passed, as if he knew about it, but the one thing she could recognize, whatever its disguise, was a policeman. It makes her laugh now to think of the assurance with which he asked his first questions. Are you married? What do you do? Why were you in Vienna? She had been recording a play for broadcast. She was just beginning and would travel anywhere overnight, never first class. She thought he'd recognized her, that he'd seen her somewhere once. The card she gave him with her name engraved was new. He studied the card for minutes and ran his thumb over it absently. And in Salzburg you'll be a tourist. To make the conversation move faster, to tease, to invent, to build a situation and bring it crashing down, she said, no one's expecting me.
Gallant writes every morning at her kitchen table or in her study, and each story usually begins as an image.
Like a still from a film, black and white, and it's of people caught in a situation, and this has to open in some way. But sometimes it doesn't appear in the story at all, the first image. But the thing that's interesting is that I know who these people are. I know all about them. That's very funny. I know their names. I know what they're doing. I know what they're up to. And it develops from that, but that doesn't mean that it's done in a hurry at all. It's very slow.
She explains how one story began when she was introduced to a recently widowed gentleman at a Paris dinner party.
I'd been told he was a widower and that he was unconsolable and that it was very sad and so on. So I was trying to cheer him up with chat, and he turned into a man who'd been married twice. And I thought, you poor man, you don't know, I'm sitting here talking to you. I thought, and you don't know that I have just seen you making a radio broadcast in my mind, and two women are going to occupy your life. I haven't quite seen how they're going to do it. That's true. And out of that grew a group of three stories, I think three or four.
She does something that only the great ones do, and that is she can compress into 10 or 15 pages 40 or 50 years of a person's life.
The American story writer Russell Banks, who lives in a remote town in the Adirondacks, regards Gallant as one of the two or three great English story writers of the last half century.
Mostly the short story limits itself to a moment or two or a very few span of days in the life of the characters. But she manages to get an entire life into that short passage. And another thing she does, which is really quite remarkable, is that she's able to, while foregrounding vividly and memorably a single character or two, there's always a historical and social background that's of, in some ways, of even greater importance. And so her characters are always playing against and through history.
Aside from placing her characters within a larger world, in a certain sense, she also places herself in that changing world. Autonomy and independence, and their loss, are issues that appear repeatedly in Gallant's work. They are also values that have been critical in her life. The barriers faced by an independent woman in the 1950s had a good deal to do with Gallant's decision to live in Paris. Many North American hotels and restaurants refused to serve women alone then. But in Paris it was different. A solitary woman could peacefully spend hours, day or night, in cafes whenever she chose, which meant that she had no problem working and living there as a single woman. But she will allow that relationships always somehow got in the way of her work.
I have, on and off in my long life, shared my life, but for short periods. And I think I didn't have much staying power. I think that I considered it like a kind of puzzle to solve. And once it was solved, I wonder if I didn't lose interest. I don't know. I don't want to analyze too much. I was always better off on my own. I'm an only child, you know, and I was always better off when I was on my own. I felt better. And I remember once I went away for 3 months so that something would clear up and clear over and I could come back to Paris on my own and so on. And people said to me, "Oh, you must be in love. You look marvelous." It was freedom.
The freedom to do what she's always wanted to do, to make stories in Paris. For NPR News, I'm Frank Browning.